Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Deuteronomy 7 verse 22 is my assignment for tonight. I am so glad to be a part of what God is doing at Crystal River Church, and I'm so ecstatic about the future that the Reeds and I will have together as we go beyond all of our issues in our nation about race and religion and politics. And we've decided that the kingdom of God is coming, and is coming in power. Somebody says amen. And how many of you have made up your mind that I want to be a part of this final finish, the final call, the final on this planet that we all share, the final outpouring of the Holy Ghost before the coming of Jesus Christ? And Pastors Ronnie and Sherry Reed and Crystal River is a very integral part of what God is doing in the days of the coming of Jesus Christ. How many of you know without a shadow of a doubt? You may not know a whole lot about this, that, or the other, but you know that Jesus Christ is coming again. And our brothers in Israel who believe that he is only coming for the first time, he is coming for the second time. The Messiah is coming. Come on, lift up your hands and say, Messiah is coming again. And he's coming in power. And he's coming in glory. And we shall, in the words of Dottie Rambo, behold him. Somebody say amen. Man, that song really messed me up. I haven't heard it, but I'm going to have to hear it again. But I believe that our team here, the Millers and all of the new members of our team, I believe that they have a deep understanding and awareness of what Pastor Ronnie and Sherry are about. They're about God, and they're about the kingdom of God, and they're about family, and they're about loving and having joy unspeakable, living the God kind of life. And I believe that it is very important that if you're going to go to heaven, that you know everything there is to know about the love of God, the grace of God, and the power of God being functionary in your life. And I've been going across this world, and I don't want anybody to have unrealistic expectations about our relationship with God. One of the things that I learned about God, God doesn't have or owns a microwave. He's got a fiery furnace. He's got a wood-burning stove. And how many of you know that in a relationship, things take time in order to develop and blossom and become that great love affair that you always wish for? There is no quick fix or hocus pocus, abracadabra. If the foot didn't do a rabbit any good, it ain't gonna do you no good. How many of you know that there is no such thing as luck, and there is no such thing as magic? And if Magic Johnson is HIV positive, that's the fattest AIDS person I've ever seen in my life. Somebody say amen. And so let's get in the word of the Lord. And I want to talk to you about a subject that I believe is going to help us develop this deep relationship with God so that we can have realistic biblical and spiritual expectations. Somebody say amen. Verse 22 of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, this is my favorite book in the Bible, the second law. And this particular verse, oh God, it's a bunch of meat on this bone to pick off of. Let's read it. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. Notice for specificity of the text, these particular words, that God's going to put out those nations, but God is not going to do it overnight. God is not going to do it big, bang, boom, it's over, but it's going to be step by step. God's going to take you through what is called a process, a series of stages to get you to an outcome that is inevitably God. And he doesn't want you to get it all at once, because if you get it all at once, the beast of the field will increase upon you. Lift your hands. Father, I pray that this word will get deep down in our hearts and we will have a deeper relationship with you. This is our desire more than anything in the whole round world, to have a relationship that is deep and meaningful and fulfilling. This is what we want. And the church said, amen. Amen. It's good to see Pastor Johnson and all of our guests that have come to be a part of this great revival. And those of you that do not have a local church, you're not a part of a local assembly, and you live at least 100 miles from this church, this church, you can go to heaven from Crystal River Church. Look at somebody and say, you can go to heaven from here. And the people said, that's a part of this body. Amen. Sisters and brothers, I want to talk about, just for a few moments, the process of renewing our minds. And I want you to really understand that word process. It is a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. And what I found out, sisters and brothers, that we live in the stage of right now. We live in the stage of fast food, microwave foods, relationships that blossom over the internet, and things just happen so fast and it happens overnight that people don't really take time to stop and smell the roses. And some people get what they want and then they don't want what they got because they haven't allowed things to develop properly, and they develop these relationships that are weird and crazy, and relationships that are obscure, if you would. And I want to deal for just a few minutes with this particular verse, because God gives the children of Israel this big promise that I'm going to take you from Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land. But when I get you in that promised land that flows with milk and honey, it's gold in them their hills, I'm not going to give it to you at once. I'm going to give it to you little by little. And then he says, let the beast of the field increase upon you. And I believe that the beast of the field is the pride or the self-reliance or the egocentricity, where we get a quick victory and say, look at what I did. Where we get a quick victory without sweat and say, you know what? I've arrived. Instant gratification. Sisters and brothers, God did not want them to conquer all 31 of those nations in the promised land at once, but he wanted to take them through a series of lessons so that they would learn something about God, they would learn something about themselves, they would learn something about their enemy. God is more concerned about you learning the lesson than having the victory. Some people, they call it a lucky shot. But in God, there is no luck. In God, we walk by faith and not by sight. We use the weapons of the word of God, which are not carnal, but they are mighty, by pulling down every single solitary stronghold of the enemy. And so it is human nature to want to skip the process and get to the payoff. And many of us, we don't want the process. We want the payoff immediately. Look at Pastor Reed. He's been here nearly 25 years. And in 25 years, he has buried people that he wanted to keep. And he's had to keep people that he wanted to bury. In 25 years, he has dealt with sissies and hippies and freebie gypsies. He's dealt with wig-wearing witches and warlocks. He's dealt with good and bad people. people. He's dealt with folks that came in on fire saying that they were going to help take the church to another level, only to be disappointed and only to be frustrated. But he kept his knees in God's altar and his hands in God's hand. And look at where we are now. It was little by little. When I was just a youngster, my grandfather, when I was christened, said that I was going to be a prophet to all the nations. Now, many folks thought that it would just instantaneously happen. But to be where I am and to do what I've done, I've traveled in this entire world. I've been on every continent except Australia. And I preached in Africa, in London, in Paris, in Seoul, Korea. But before I preached in the pulpit, I cleaned the pulpit. I learned how to vacuum. I learned how to clean toilets. I learned how to mow lawns. I learned how to go to old people's house and help them get out of the bed and help them get to church. Before I got where I am, I had to put on some gloves and get between a toilet and a sink and clean. Y'all don't want to know what I had to clean in order to get here. And it was a process, and it was little by little. And oftentimes, you'll see folk lay hands on a novice, and you give a big fool a little bit of power, and you got a big mess. A person that's inexperienced, and a person who doesn't really appreciate the grind of getting to the top. These individuals that are prima donna wannabes, individuals that said, I saw somebody do it on TV and I think I could do it. I've seen somebody up in the pulpit and I think I can do that. Let me tell you something. There are some things, just because folk make it look easy, it is not easy. I need a mom in this house to say, it ain't easy raising three kids. It ain't easy being married to the person that I'm married to. It ain't easy working a job, frying a pork chop, taking care of a dog and a cat and a pet hamster and a canary. There's some things. It ain't easy. Folk just made it look easy. And so when I was a youngster, my first job was an armor bearer. And I was an armor bearer at 11 years old. And I was driving at about 13 years old, driving for the man of God. I had the seat all the way up to the steering wheel, and I was driving all over the place for the man of God. I made sure his shoes were shined, his clothes were in the dry cleaners. I did everything to make his life easier. And I understood something. If you want to be exalted, make sure you serve. Make sure you humble yourself. Make sure that you help somebody else become great. If you want to be a leader, you got to be a great follower. And it's step by step. And I didn't just, and I got rebuked. Well, no, I didn't get rebuked. I got buked and scorned. And many times I was embarrassed, and many times I was offended, but I didn't allow that to get my eyes off of what God said he was going to make happen in my life. Lift up your hands. David, before he became King David, he was David the lion killer, David the bear killer, David who was tending sheep, David that was trying to get a sheep out of a lion's mouth, and he had to take it step by step. You ain't got no business preaching in a pulpit and you ain't never clean one. Little by little. And these things humble you. And they prove what's in your heart. And if you're not a servant, you can't be a minister. We don't need no more prima donna praise and worship leaders or prima donna preachers who just desperately need a first class ticket, and you got to pick them up in the limousine, and they got to stay at the Marriott. Have you lost your mind? Ministry is not looking good for the camera. Ministry is work. It's work. It's real work. And because somebody got it because of their daddy, or somebody got it because they knew how to politic and play the game of musical chairs, the beast of the field devoured them. Because they got it overnight, the beast of the field increased and it devoured them. And sometimes in America, we've created a lot of monsters. You can't preach to folks and sleep with them. This is where it get real quiet. You can't steal all the money and eat all the chicken and call yourself a servant of the Most High God while wanting everybody to serve you. There's a mega church pastor said that sheep are dumb. I'm the shepherd. But we need people to take personal responsibility. And that what used to be a Republican conservative principle, that you take personal responsibility and work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Look at your neighbor and say, don't drink the Kool-Aid. It doesn't happen overnight. It's little by little. A great marriage is little by little. Raising kids is little by little, because your kids are a reflection of you. And everything that's great or successful started small. And so oftentimes what we deal with in our society is people want the big payoff, but they don't want the real process. That's all they care about, is the big payoff and not the real process. And I want you to know something, sisters and brothers. This is what God told the children of Israel. I'm going to give it to you, but I'm not going to give a 16-year-old kid a Porsche or a Maserati. Are you out of your mind? And not, God's not going to give you, with a former slave mentality, all this land that flows with milk and honey, because you will, it will blow up in your face. Everybody homeless don't want a house. I remember my grandmother we went out, she had been sick, and I thought she was feeling a lot better. And somebody called and they said, how's Nana doing? I said, Nana's doing fine. And my grandma hit me. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, I'm very sick. I'm extremely sick. Don't you tell nobody I'm doing fine. And I found out that's how Nana got offerings. Based on sympathy. And I messed up her Social Security check from church folk. And some people, they need to be pampered and burped and wiped and all of that other stuff. And then they want to be grown at the same time. It's time to get rid of the Similac. Get rid of the Isomil, and it's time for us to get the meat of the Word of God so that we can grow and be strong and be disciples and change our community and change our nation. The only way it happens is little by little. Come on. Get in the process and trust the process. Repeat after me, trust the process. Get in it. Trust that if God said it's going to be little by little and step by step, I'm going to do it God's way, and the outcome is going to be exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. If you're faithful over little, God will make you ruler over many. But you got to respect the process. Somebody say amen. God doesn't want us to get to the happy ending. He wants us to rejoice in the painful middles. How many of you, all of you women love these movies with these great endings? Sleepless in Seattle make me want to throw up. And I fail to remember. How many of y'all women and some of y'all men have been hijacked by your wives to sit and watch these serendipity? What is that movie where those two old the pastor just got delivered? What is that movie where those old people die together? Oh, that is the kryptonite to every man in this house. Oh, we love these happy endings. But how many of you know in the process, in order to get to the happy ending, you got to go through the bad middle? Lift your hands and say it, the painful middles. The middles where you live with, I don't know what just happened to me. It is, in order to have the happy ending, you got to go through the painful middle. And in the middle, there's all kind of things like betrayal and church hurts and things that happen in your life from people that you never thought it would come from. But you know what? You keep on pressing because God gave you a promise that's bigger than your pain. God gave you a promise that's bigger than being betrayed. And if God be for you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and it will not prevail and hindering you from getting to where God wants to take you, and he's going to take you little by little. It's time to get rid of these unrealistic expectations. This is how God wanted to get them where it flowed. But before you get to water that flows, oftentimes you go through water that's real choppy. And it's almost like, you know, when folks first get married or first start dating, you can't think about nothing else. Right. Like this man here. Look at him. He's so in love with this woman, he can't hardly stand himself. Keep living. Oh, my God. They call it three phases. They say in love. And the doctors diagnose in love where people can't hardly work. They can't. They go to sleep on the phone. I mean, they go to sleep texting. People don't talk on the phone no more. And then you go from in love, which is 0 to 18 months, and then you get to this next phase called real love, where you find out who left this commode seat up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Who left a swallow of orange juice? I just fried these eggs, cooked this bacon, got this toast, and I left a swallow to do that. And then you got to say, I really love you. I know I love you because I wouldn't have put up with this from nobody. It's the process. And then they say that this process, the in love is between 0 to 18 months. And they say this process of real love is between 18 months to 7 years. And then they say after that, you go about 20 years into it, you get something called old love. You ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere. Y'all got a divorce-proof marriage. Y'all can go through hell with gasoline draws on and still have the victory because you got that old love. That old love that says we have been through some painful situations. We have been through some ugly situations. I have slapped the taste out of his mouth. I almost... Jesus. You go through these stages and it's step by step. It happens overnight. You don't get what these two young lovebirds get overnight. They didn't get their relationship in a microwave. They got it step by step, day by day, learning not to go to bed angry, learning not to go to bed upset. These are things that you have to condition yourself in the process. Because the enemy wants to wear you down and make you quit right in the middle of the midst of the process and make you believe that the promise is never going to come to you. But I came to tell you, the devil is a liar. What God has for you is for you, and the devil wouldn't be fighting you if God wasn't getting ready to give you double for your trouble and triple for your trials. You need to rejoice when you face fiery trials, because that's the time that you should understand that's where God promotes you in the fiery furnace. Lift up your hands and shout unto God if you're in the middle of a fiery trial. You know what God says about the process? Think it not strange. Like something happened to me. Oh, I can't believe this happened to me. Child, You talking. There's some people in here, they got a whole bunch of stuff going on. They dog got diarrhea. They cat done scratched the drapes. They car acting crazy. Their refrigerator won't get cold. They stove won't get hot. And every time they get in this church, they're doing the stinky leg for Jesus. You know why? Because they made up their mind, I'm not going to let these little things stop me from praising my great big God. I need a 25 people to help me give God a great praise in this house. Brother Steve, you get here by renewing your mind. And the process of renewing your mind is painful and difficult, because you're reparenting and retraining yourself to become more like Jesus. If it was only God's intention to make your dreams come true, he would snap his finger and they would appear. But God is not I dream of genie. God wants us to learn to walk by faith and not by feelings or emotions. And God wants us to get to this point where we develop something between the promise and the payoff. What is that? Trust.
All right.
Trust. What we must have at every stage of this little by little is, God, I trust you with all the issues in my life, with all my heart and all my mind, that all things are going to work together for my good. They're going to work together for God's glory. I'm not in this thing by myself. I'm a part of the Crystal River Church of God, and there's about 800 people that are praying for me and believing God that I will finish my race and things are going to get better. I'm not on an island by myself. I'm going through the process, and the payoff is going to be so much better than everything I had in my life. You know how much better Daniel was when he came out the lion's den? Man, he's like, whoa, you survived that. Listen, when they dropped me in there, I didn't see no way out of that. And God sent down some sleeping pills and put them lions to sleep. And next thing you know, I went to sleep. And next thing you know, I was up and they were bringing me out. Can you think of how better Meshach, Shadrach, and that bad Negro was when they came out the fiery furnace? You know how much better they were when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego came out the fire? You're talking about how y'all made it out of that. You know how they made it out of it? They learned how to trust God in the most painful situations in life. You know how these folks go through things? You are better on the other side of it. You got to keep a positive outlook. I'm better on the other side of it. Things are going to be better on the other side of it. Endure hardness as a good soldier, for when the desire comes to pass, it's going to be like a tree of life. It is going to be absolutely more than you've ever imagined or dreamed once you get through it. imagine how, oh, lift your hands. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. You're going through a process. And it looks like the devil is winning. Because you want it now.
Come on.
And God is saying, no, little by little. When my mom and I were praying for my father to be saved, at the darkest point of the trial, he hit that pole. I told y'all about the payoff, but you didn't know how ugly the devil was in the process. Oh, but we added to our faith virtue and to our virtue strength, and we kept declaring the word, and we used our word weapon. I have a sure word of prophecy that came from Almighty God, and we had the devil on the ropes, and the devil started acting crazy, but the just shall live by faith, and we kept walking and talking our confession. And let me tell you something, last time I saw my daddy, this is what he was doing. I said, you the slowest shouter I've ever seen in my life. Lifting his hands, tears were coming out of his eyes. We got the payoff because we will not let go of what God said he was going to do in our lives. God spoke to me last week in Charlotte, and he told me to tell people, and I haven't said it yet, these next 5 months are going to be 5 months of favor, 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 favor. I'm telling you, child of God, you've been through everything you could go through. The devil has thrown everything at you, but the next 5 months are going to be absolutely explosive. Somebody shout in this house. Let me hurry up and get out of here. Am I helping anybody yet? Am I helping anybody yet? Listen, this is what you got to do. Life is big and it's too short to get caught up in a bunch of empty drums. This is where I'm going. He gonna put them out little by little. And guess what? I'm gonna allow him to declutter my life. Yeah. Lift your hands and say, I want it. Life is too big, too short to get caught up in a bunch of empty drama. Secondly, let me tell you how to keep a positive attitude. If you don't like something, just take away its power, your attention. Positive anything is better than negative nothing. Make up your mind that I'm going to be positive, innovative, and creative, and I'm going to live my life out loud for God, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Therefore, I'm not ashamed of the blessings that are going to run me down and overtake me because of my perseverance and my patience with God. Good God, I feel the Holy Ghost up in this church. I've lived this. Nothing comes easy to a Ziegler or a Johnson or a Miller. Lift your hands. Or Smokey Robinson's family. Nothing comes easy. But guess what? It's always worth it. The doctor told us when Jaden was born, he had asthma. And he had to take this breathing machine and blah, 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 blah. And oh, it was, from about age four, Jill, this is going to bless you. From about age four, three, to about age five, my son all year had this cough. He just coughed all the time. And every night, we were using our confessions. We confess that Jaden does not have asthma. He's not going to be on this breathing machine. And we had this Mediterranean doctor that said, that's good. You're a preacher, but you better come back and get this albuterol. You better come back and get this stuff. And so one night, the Holy Ghost tapped me and said, get up. I'm talking about, and it was at its height with this coughing and this asthma. And I got up, went to Jaden's room, and my baby had got out of his bed and was face down on the floor, panting for air. And I said, Melissa! So what's going on? Melissa! Come on down. She came down, and Jaden was on the floor. Trying to call me, and I rolled Jaden over, and I got on top of him, and I said, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And she said, who do we call? Jesus. I said, but dial 911 and Jesus. Listen, I know some of y'all word of faith people. I believe God, but you got them glasses from LensCrafters. You ain't that sanctified. You ain't that holy. Well, I believe God, but you better put them glasses on while you're driving. Listen, I got the Holy Ghost and common sense. I was calling on Jesus, and I said, dial 911 to Jesus. And by the time they got there, Jaden, they got there, we praying, speaking in tongues, quoting the word, you shall live and not die. I was declaring it over his life, touching his chest. I was rebuking and crying. At no point did I ever go, in Jaden gonna die. Not one time did I think I was gonna bury the baby that God gave me as a direct result of prophecy. I did not believe God brought me that far to let my baby die at 4 years old. I don't know who I'm talking to. God wouldn't have gave it to you if he was trying to take it from you. Lift up my God. Lift up your hand, child of God. The devil wants to take it. God, my God. Lay your hand on somebody and say, the devil's trying to take it from you. Lift up your hand. He's trying to take it. I was on my son. The ambulance got to our house. Jaden, by the time they got there, Jaden was up, walking around. We listen, gave him a treatment. We took him on to the hospital. By the time we got to the hospital, I'm a soul man. Don't you know your kids are always sick till you get them to the doctor's office? It's a miraculous. I was like, this ain't the same child. An hour ago, he got to, and they were looking at us like, why y'all wasting our time? About 6 months later, I was in the car with Jaden. He's sitting behind me, and he said, and my son has brown, blondish hair and talks real proper. You know, he's real, I don't know what he is. I'm going to drop him off in Mississippi in the Delta so he could get some black pork chops in him, because he calls me Dad. So you better go get that child some penny loafers and some white socks like Michael Jackson, because this boy, Dad. We have in our house hood classes where I just drive by the hood and say, roll the window down, Jaden, maybe you'll catch some soul in you. Yeah. Yeah. That's my name. And my mom said, why does he call you that? I said, Mama, this is Mama, don't let's not even go there. But he said, Dad. I said, yes, Jaden. He said, you remember I used to cough all the time? I said, yeah. He said, I prayed to Jesus, and he took that call from me. We took him to the doctor a year ago. They said, this child don't need this breathing machine. He doesn't need these breathing treatments. Every summer was the summer from hell. Jaden is scuba diving. Jaden is swimming all over the pool, running, playing baseball right now. Don't you tell me if you take the promises of God that God would lie to you. If he said he's going to heal you from cancer, he's going to heal you. If he said he's going to restore your family, he's going to do it. But you got to take it step by step, and don't let the devil move you at any time. Yeah. Lift up your hand. That's the word. After you suffered a while, God's going to make you perfect, strengthen, and establish you. So slow down, calm down, Don't get all worked up because of what no doctor tells you, because he's practicing. Jesus ain't practicing. What he told you he could do, your lawyer is practicing. But God is not practicing. He is the Lord thy God. I feel the Holy Ghost that healeth thee of all your diseases. He did it in my house with my son. And I want you to know, if God can heal my son, God's going to heal your son. He's going to heal your daughter. But you got to praise him by faith with expectation that the best is yet to come. Give him a big praise right now. Praise him. Glory to God. Am I helping anybody tonight? I'm on this street because I feel like people are getting weary in well doing because you got to take it step by step. But you got to take it the way he gives it to you, little by little.
All right.
I'm going to make this journey step by step. It ain't easy, but it's worth it. It ain't easy, but God gave me a promise. 25 years after God said he was going to give Abraham and Sarah a baby, Sarah was craving pickles and ice cream at 3:00 in the morning. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God sent me to tell you, don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. You're on the brink of the greatest miracle in your life. Open up your mouth and shout a victory shout. Come here, preacher. Come here, preacher. This is how it works. Little by little. Step by step. And then you look back over your shoulder and say, look how far I've come. End up a Hosea. Lift your hands. You're still here. You're still in it. And the promise is still good. And guess what? You're still good. Come on, give somebody an elbow and say, the promise is good. And you're good. God's going to do it if you don't lose heart. God's going to do it if you don't give up. God's going to do it right at the point of you giving up and saying, there's no way this can happen. Honey, I came to tell you, the devil is a liar. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. My God. Pastor Ronnie. These people getting happy off a little by little.
That's right.
Oh, you know what the word of faith says? Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, jump up, turn around 3 times, and bam. No, baby, it's little. Hello. David was promised king at 16.
Right.
He didn't become king till 40.
Come on now.
Little by little. Before God gave him a golden scepter, God gave him a rag and a rock. And he was faithful with that rag and rock. And then God gave him a golden scepter. I want you to know something. Before Moses became Moses, he was on the backside of the desert for about 40 years. But when God brought him out of that burning bush, he was ready to be the man that God called him to be. I don't know who I'm talking to, but the Holy Ghost said, if you just stay with me and walk with me, step. Step. Don't miss the step. See, this is what we want to do. This is what we want to do. We got stuff in our lives. Just jump over it. You just want to jump over it. I'm done with this. Oh, no, you're not. In life, you got to learn. This, come here. You wifey for lifey. Come on, wifey for lifey. Come on with me. Come here. Step right there, Jess. Step right there, Jess. See, this is life. This is real life. Come on, baby girl. This is real life. This is real life. This is real. Yeah, put something in the middle because you're going to have something right here. And you're going to have something right here. And this is what we want to do. We just want, Calgon, take me away. Ease on down the road. Oh, don't you carry nothing but your feet alone. Won't you ease down the road. Put your right foot in. No, I don't know what happened to me just then. But you got one step. That's what you do it. And you keep going. And you keep moving. Bad things happen. And you keep going. My son kept coughing, but we kept praying. It looked like he was never going to get off that machine. But we kept going, and we kept moving, and we kept believing, and we kept confessing, and we kept praying in the Holy Ghost, and we kept reading the Word. Come here, Smokey. That's how it works. You don't become a great youth pastor overnight. That's how it happens. You go little by little. I cleaned toilets. I had to put gloves on, but I kept doing it. I did things that no preacher should have ever had to do. I drove this old woman that used to flirt with me. I sat on the door. And I picked that woman up. And she said things to me. And I was a Me Too man too. I told my grandmother, I said, Nana, I can't pick up that lady no more. She told me, she said, Brother Ziegler, you don't need no young schoolgirl. You need an experienced woman. I said, but I'm in school. And my grandma said, you ain't got to pick up no more. I'm a pick up. Boy, that old bag didn't like that. I went on through that, kept walking. I was in Lee University, and my lungs collapsed. And I was in the hospital, and they said, you ain't going to be able to do the kind of stuff you do. You ain't never going to be active. But I used my word weapon. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I kept on walking, Smokey. I kept the faith. I kept the victory. And I'm in Crystal River, Florida tonight, preaching with energy and exuberance and power and anointing. You know why? Because little by little, I held on to what God said in his word. And God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If God brought you to it, he will see you through it. You all know my testimony? You know my testimony? The first time I went on TBN, I met Jan Crouch. I was 22 years old. And I was in Miami, Florida, preaching for J.T. Johnson at Homestead Church of God. See, you see the glory, but you don't know the story. I was preaching for J.T., got to the airport in Miami. All kind of stuff happened. This is little by little how I got here. I was getting ready to get on this plane, Steve. This white woman, Mrs. Ziegler, your bags didn't make the plane. Somebody misplaced your bag. But we found it. But as soon as we got it, we couldn't put your bags on. You got to fly it another time. I looked at that woman and said, oh, no, baby. I'm leaving now. I'm ready to get out of Miami. I got to get back home. She said, Mr. Ziegler, you got to go right now. And I looked at that woman and gave her the fish eye. And this white guy was in front of me. He said, we'll see you in Atlanta. ValueJet flight from Miami took off, exploded, and killed all the passengers. I don't care what y'all black folk think. I love thee, white people. Give me all the mayonnaise you can get. I don't care what y'all think about them. Give me the bagels. Give me porridge with no sugar in it. Listen, that white woman got me, and I said, that was a miracle because white people don't live in Miami, Florida. And I got home. The news had gotten home that my plane had crashed, and they were all casualties. That same alcoholic daddy, my mama got the news, dropped the phone, and was screaming. And that same former alcoholic daddy that we got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was at Lee University, that same daddy that was in the military and functioning alcoholic said, John Earl ain't on that plane. John Earl ain't on that plane. That's what my dad called me, John Earl. He said, John Earl ain't on that plane. Said, I guarantee you he ain't dead. My cousin was at my mother's house, all broke up about it. My best friend, he said, oh, God. He said, he's gone. I was at the airport getting my stuff off the conveyor belt. Calling home, and they got so messed up, they didn't hang the phone up, and the phone was busy. I said, ain't nobody here to pick me up. They thought I was dead. I took a taxi. I was mad all the way home. I knocked on the door like a gangster. Bam, bam. They opened the door. My mama started speaking in tongues. And my daddy said, I told y'all John Earl wasn't on that flight. Listen, if God got something in your future, he ain't going to let you die right now. I need somebody that's got a great future with God to give God the best praise you got in your body. I'm telling you, step by step, it's my, come at Josh, step by step, boy. Come on, take it. Step by step. Step by step. Come on, baby. Step by step. You walk by faith and not elabakash. Step by step. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Lift your hands on this place. You're going to make it. Come here, Steve. Come here, sister. Grab your husband's hand. My God, while you were at that car dealership, God, doing all that work, making that money, you didn't know what God had for you. Oh, people looking at you right now and they don't know how grateful you are to be doing what you're doing. It ain't about money. It's about the purpose of God in your life. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. And I want you to go with me every step at that dealership. Every step in your life, things you've come through that nobody in here knows, but you kept your hand in God's hand, and God got you here right now at Crystal River, and you ain't seen nothing yet. Just keep on walking with God. Don't worry. Look at all that you overcame. Little by little, and you look up at this building, and you're here, Steve. I want you to lift your hand and say, I ain't got no business being here today. I ought to be in the grave. I ought to be in the jailhouse. I ought to still be smoking and drinking and living like a wild person. But God, look beyond my faults. I wouldn't trade Crystal River for nothing in the world. Where God brought me from to get me here, I ought to be shouting and dancing and praising the Lord. Somebody shout a victory shout. Point at Steve. He brought you here from there, and you're here, and we're glad about it, and we're glad about it. Oh God, look at all these steps you had to make. Look at all these steps. Little heartbreak between here. Painful situations, embarrassing situations, but you kept walking and you kept stepping and you kept overcoming, and you were miserable but yet rejoicing. You were burning the candle on both ends but still trusting God. Between the promise and the payoff is God, I trust you every step of the way. Am I helping anybody in this room? Come here. Come here. Sister Purple, come here, Sister Purple. I want you to see it. Look at all those steps. That's a lot of steps in life. Things, come here, Pop. them steps, all them things you got to go through before you get here. Green pastures, still waters. Brother Ronnie, when he drove in the Crystal River parking lot 25 years ago, he took me to the building out front. I walked around what people used to have trash in. And little by little, they've transferred that place that had all that trash in it unto a ministry center, a training center, a place to just, y'all ain't happy about that, where God's getting ready to take us. Little by little, they put carpet on the floor, paint on the floor, remodeled this, remodeled that. Little by little, that's how we are going to take this church to over 1,000 people. That's how we're going to take this church to a level beyond our wildest imagination. Lay your hand on your neighbor and say, neighbor, get ready, get ready. God is getting ready to open the heavens. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder. And I want you right now to let them know, mine ain't coming overnight. It's going to be little by little. But I'm going to enjoy this unbelievable journey with God. They asked me, they said, are you going to fly again? I said, what do you mean? I said, you were on a plane that you were scheduled to die. I said, my chances went up when that one went down. I've been flying all over the world. I was sitting on next to somebody just the other day flying to London, England, and I was sitting there, and I thought about, we had a little turbulence, and I said, you need turbulence to shake you out of your comfort zone. And the man said, we're going a little higher above this. And I want you to tell the devil, I'm going a little higher above this. My praise is going higher. My praise is a weapon. Come here, pastor. Grab that pretty wife of yours and take these steps. Get behind them, Brother Johnson, and take every step, pastor. Take every step, honey. Every step. Somebody else join the trip. Somebody else. Somebody else. Come on, Sam. Go down that trip. Go down. Take that trip. Come on, sister. Go down there. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Take those steps, girl. I need somebody by faith to come down here and walk down these steps. I'm going to the next level, step by step. Look at these folks. Don't you go back to your seat, come to this altar. Look at Papa with all that rhythm. Look at these folks. Look at these folks. Look at these folks. Look at these folks. Some of them shouting. Some of them dancing. Some of them, but every step I'm going through in the name of Jesus. My God, young lady, if you knew what God had for you, you will keep on stepping. If you know where God was going to take you, you will keep on stepping. I'm telling you, ain't no limit to where God's going. Look at her. Somebody help us shout. Help us shout. Help us shout. Come on up here, pastor. Come on up here, Brother Miller and your wife. Pastor and your wife, Brother Johnson, don't you leave this. Come on, walk those steps. Stay at this altar with me. Come on down. Oh, God, have mercy. Look at them folk. They're taking it step by step. moment by moment. Everyone standing. You're in a process. Pastor said something last night about therapy that I had to add to my sermon. There is no such thing as physical therapy that don't hurt. You got a knee. Anybody had a knee replacement? Ain't no Cracker Jack box knee surgery. It hurts. I had, man, they said, all you got to do is walk to that nurse's station. I got up out there, almost blacked out. It took me days to get to the nurse's station. But guess what? I took it step by step. And I kept moving. And when I got to that nurse's station, I said, I'm better. They said, no. Now you got to go to physical therapy. What? And then I had this old mean, wretched, ghetto fabulous nurse that forgot I was a preacher. Give me five more. You old stinky lady. But we became great friends. She pushed me. She didn't care I was Bishop Whatchamacallit and Bishop Kit Kat. She said, work that knee. Faster. Do you know who I... Shut up talking to me. Keep the... I didn't know how a 5-pound weight could cause that much pain. And pulling and flexing and squatting and twisting and... Oh, man, and then she brought them needles out and did that dry needling, and my nerve would be jumping, and I'd be like, I hate everything about you. I cursed the ground. But after about 8 weeks, she said, how you feel now? And she had this iPad, and she said, she said, Reverend Ziegler. Her whole demeanor changed. It was first, pick up them weights, do them squats, do some more, do five more. And then it was, you've gotten better because you stuck with me. Women, oh God, you've gotten better because you got a woman of God that was willing to challenge you to not settle for just any old thing. You got a woman of God that wanted the same thing for your daughter that she wanted for her daughter. You got a woman of God that was willing to tell you onward and upward, higher and higher. I wish I had somebody that understood what we got. Where's Josh? My God, he's way over there. Come to the keyboard. I wrote this down. This is going to bless somebody. Things are going a little slow sometimes, but I'm making progress. I wrote this. I'm not condemned. I am not going to fail. I wrote this. A positive mind produces a positive life. I wrote this. I was just writing, discouragement destroys hope. And without hope, we give up, which is what Satan wants. But you take those steps, and guess what? You're going to have some good days, and you're going to have some not so good days. But I want you to know this. The Lord said, I'm going to give you those nations. I'm going to give you those nations. Look at that. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before you. I'm going to put them out. And I'm going to give you that land. Lift your hands. I'm going to give you that land. I got a promise for you, and I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to put every one of those devils out. I'm going to put all that drama out of your life, and I'm going to give you peace that passes understanding, joy that's unspeakable. God have mercy. I'm going to give it to you little by little. I want those of you, this teaching has met you where you are. Come on down here. You mind if I talk about you? You hurt your foot.
No, I just came to the emergency room, got stitches. But I made it.
I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in the world. But this baby, and I say this baby, this is a precious baby, has had anxiety, and she has let this church know, little by little, this church has been everything to me. And this baby went to the emergency room tonight and got stitches in her leg. And this baby, where's Anthony? I want you to look, because I want you to see what a real ministry does to people. It inspires them. And this baby, with a hurt leg and all, said, if I got the limp, little by little, I'm coming to church tonight. What does that do for you?
That's what real ministry is about. That's what it's all about.
And this is what we came to Crystal River for. For people that would say, if I got the crawl to get to church, if I got to come on one foot,
hallelujah.
I got a hard word, Pastor. Little by little, I got a hard word. Bring that keyboard. I'm no competition for the instrument. Just bring it down. Some of you, little by little, you've been leaving the church. Little by little, you stop tithing. Little by little, you stop trusting. Your attendance has been little by little sporadic. You come and you go, and some of you go more than you come. And the only time you come is when you got a crisis in your life. You say, hey, I might need to go to church. God don't want no part-time lovers.
Yeah, come on.
And when it starts raining, a church is an umbrella in your life. If I give a woman some flowers, they soon gonna die. But if I give her a plant in a pot, as long as she takes care of it and waters it, it'll keep growing and growing and growing and growing. Tell your boyfriend, don't give me no more flowers, give me a plant. If you love me, give me something that's going to keep growing. Don't give me something after 2 weeks going to die. Now, those of you who know your wife like flowers, you better go and get some. But anyway, I'm trying to tell you. Little by little, the devil starts. Bishop Johnson, this is what the devil does. Little by little, we're going backwards, Brother Johnson. Takes you away from your man of God, your woman of God, your church family. And then folks say, you can watch TV on, you can go to church on, it ain't the same than being in a fellowship with your brothers and sisters and hearing the word live. And ain't nothing better than a family together bearing one another's burden. When you get sick, praying for one another. And some of you, little by little, you've been falling back. And your children see you falling back. And they begin to feel like church is not a priority. It's just an option. It's a if you feel like it. If you want to go. If you mad at the pastor, you ain't got to go for 6 months. Well, this is where it gets real. This is where me being a bishop's grandson benefits me. Because we had a woman in Hinesville, Georgia, that poisoned my grandfather. Poisoned him. And we was like, Bishop, you had to go in the hospital. And I'm telling you, we had a man get on the church bus and slap him in the face. I'm talking about things happen that we were like, what in the world? Woman poisoned him. He got sick as a dog, had to go in the hospital. She got sick. And my grandfather heard she was sick. And he went to pray for her. You don't get that overnight. You got to be saved to go pray for somebody that poisoned you. We had a woman named Mother Hardy. Her husband was an atheist. A beater, had a bunch of kids. And Mother Hardy was a good woman. I loved her. And her husband got on the bus and said, if I don't want my wife going to that blinking church, and slapped my granddaddy in the face. He said, Miss Hardy, get off the bus and go with your husband. This was way back. And they were all crying. My uncle said, the only reason I was crying because I wanted to kill Brother Hardy. About 2 weeks later, somebody got in Brother Hardy's cab and shot him in the back of the head for $25. He died. He struck Bishop in the face for no reason and died. I'm telling you what we walked through in 25 years. Mother Hardy was on welfare, food stamps, lived in the project. When it was pastor's anniversary, you know what she brought my granddaddy? Canned goods, food stamps. That's what she brought in front of everybody. Bishop, I brought you these canned goods, government cheese, big old block of cheese she gave the bishop. You hear me? My grandma, and they take it and love on Mother Hardy. One of her sons went to the University of Alabama on a full scholarship, academic scholarship. His mama died. Miss Gertrude Hardy died. One afternoon, her son came to my grandfather's already dead. Big Mama was alive, and Big Mama was sitting in there. Somebody knocked on the door. He said, Mother DeLorge, do you remember me? Can't say that I do, son. Who are you? Said, I'm Gertrude Hardy, boy. She said, oh, I haven't seen you in years since you went off to school. Been years since he came back. Said, I just came to see my mama in the nursing home, and you helped us when we didn't have nothing. Gave us clothes, gave us food, made sure that our bills, y'all did so much for us. Having y'all in our lives meant everything. He reached in his pocket and gave Big Mama a $5,000 check just to say thank you for step by step. That's what a church means. Lift your hands. Little by little, the devil's trying to take you out. But step by step, keep walking with God. Don't stop paying your tithes. Why not? Why? Because God is worth way more than a dime. A dime out of every dollar is holy and it belongs to the Lord. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Don't rob God of an opportunity to do something amazing in your life. Don't rob God of an opportunity to do something great in your life. Don't rob God of blessing you and your children and your children's children. Don't ever allow your life to become nothing more than a person little by little walking away from what God wants you to walk into. And I want you to make up in your mind, I'm going to take my life back and I'm going to get on this journey. What's the name of this group? Focus groups. Focus
track. Talk to me. Talk to them.
Focus track.
Tell them what it is.
So focus track is an opportunity for you to catch the vision of this man right here. It's an opportunity for you, because how many of you believe, you know, there's 136,000, actually we just learned it's 150,000 people in this community. And the best I can tell, out of Citrus County, out of all the churches, maybe 20,000 people attend church on a regular basis. That means we got 130,000. thousand souls in this community that we need to go after. And seven pastors on staff can't do it. But 800 people in this church can do it. Hallelujah. So Focus Track ain't about your time. It ain't about I got to miss four services. It ain't about, man, I got to get up a little earlier. Focus Track is about you coming to a room and catching the vision of Crystal River Church of God. It's catching the vision of Bishop Ronnie and Sherry Reed. It's catching the vision that they've been working step by step for 25 years in this community to accomplish. How many of you believe that those souls are worth more than a little bit of your time? Those souls are worth more than a little bit of your finances. Those souls are worth more than anything that you have to offer that might put you out just a little bit. Amen? But if you come and you become a part of that and you catch the vision, my God, what we can do together.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.